When I first came to Canada in June of 1999, I was very eager to get to work. So eager, in fact, that almost immediately I started looking for work and landed myself a job within about 4 weeks of my arrival. I remember distinctly as I was walking through the downtown of Toronto when I saw a now hiring sign in the window of a coffee shop at that time called Coffee Time. I came in, filled out an application, and was invited for an interview. The owners, a married couple, were, as I remember, very critical of my candidacy. As we were going through the list of my skills, I was told, well, you know, we kind of thought that this job would be better filled by a woman. You do have to pour coffee and make sandwiches. I can make sandwiches, I exclaimed. Well, okay, the owner said. And what is your expected wage? Without much hesitation, I confidently proclaimed, $5 an hour. Next moment, the owner smiled and relaxed, stood up, shook my hand, and I was hired. I left quite happy and proud of myself. I have worked in that place through the summer until I moved to another area of Toronto and went to school in September. Being a very responsible person, at the very least at that time of my life, I still tried to balance that job as much as I could until I understood that school and long commute was not going to match well with this job. And while I quit this job and went about my life, I was always proud of how I was able to land that job. It wasn't until a few years later, during my interview for a different position, the interviewer asked me to describe my past work experience, and I told him about my first job. He asked me, "And how much were you getting paid?" I quite confidently replied, $5 an hour. And the guy exclaimed at that time, "But that's illegal." The minimum legal wage, he said, at that time was $6.85. In that moment, I felt shocked and taken aback, realizing that my moment of pride in my first job was less about my success and determination, but perhaps more likely a story of a young, ignorant immigrant kid being taken advantage of. I still am quite grateful for working and having that work experience. But now, as I have lived in Canada and understand laws a little bit better, I quite enjoy the fact that we are a society of laws. This story came to me as I reflected on our words in scripture today, that the law indeed was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. But what is law? Law of Moses, and how our secular laws are connected to Scripture and to Christ. The law we hear was passed down through Moses, but the grace and truth came through Christ. So how did Hebrew people receive the law of Moses, and what was this law? Just a quick review. Moses actually received the law twice. First time, before Moses was able to come down from mountain after being there for 6 days receiving the law, he came down to see people already break. He, in anger, threw those tablets and broke them and had to go back to the mountain the second time to receive the law. This law described briefly in Exodus and detailed in Deuteronomy, although arguably it had some additions as Israel's society became more and more complex. This law governs every aspect of Israel's life: how to behave, how to dress, what to eat, as well as what not to eat. Cleansing rites are also in the law. In fact, arguably, this is why it is believed now Jewish people were less susceptible to contracting the Black Plague, because they ritually wash their hands before a meal. This law had everything, even a work week. It was regulated with a day off, 7 days a week with a day of rest, during which all were to rest. In a way, it was like our labor laws today regulate a standard work week and some time off. I'm not so sure that there were any laws regulating minimum wages, although there were certainly laws protecting the marginalized people in the society. There is a law, for example, that specifically says to treat a foreigner as he was a native in your land, for you were foreigners in Egypt. In essence, the law of Moses was meant to regulate the right conduct of Hebrew society in the right relationship to God. This law is vast. It consists of 5 books of the Hebrew Bible and lays down 613 commandments of right conduct. As it is today with our laws, most of these commandments are a description of right conduct, followed by a description of blessing if following that conduct, and then followed by a description of penalty in case of disobedience. Unlike our secular laws, however, many of these commandments start out by asking people to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. It is very well summarized by Jesus in Mark 12. And we can also find this in an affirmation of faith, a second affirmation of faith in the morning prayer liturgy. If you remember these words, I invite you to recite them. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. In this verse, Jesus extends the foundation of the law, to love God, onto the neighbor also. I believe this is the essence and the truth that Jesus lives out in his human life. Most laws have their place and purpose, even if sometimes they seem to be overbearing, cold, and heartless. If left without the spirit of the law, they can also, I believe, lead to tyranny. And I also think that this happens when that spirit of the law is forgotten. But the laws are given to people who could understand strict rules of conduct in order to guide them in right relationship to each other and to God the Father. Jesus shows that if we are to truly live out the principle of the law, we are to be filled with love for God and for all of his creation, our neighbors including. If we do this, we will be already living within the law. In fact, Jesus himself says to the religious and legal authorities of his day that he did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. After all, if I love my neighbor, I will be more than happy to pay a fair living wage to a young worker without the need for minimum wage law. If I love my neighbor as myself, I do not need the law with set penalties to tell me that I have to wear a mask in public spaces during the times of pandemic. If I am filled with love of God, that I simply understand my connection to all creation around me, and I will act with love and care for everyone and everything as God intended. The truth that Christ brings to us is full of grace and love, with which God fills the world around us, if we are only open to receive it and live it out. Live out Christ in us. And in so doing, and if I am doing so, I will live in the right relationship with God and with all of his creation. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in you we live and move and have our being. Guide and govern us by your Holy Spirit. Fill us with grace, truth, and love shown to us by our Savior, by your Son, Jesus Christ, that in all the cares and occupations of our life, we may not forget you, but may remember that we are ever walking in your presence through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen.